You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What is good, everybody? I am not Rob Stats Guerrera. I am RJ Ochoa. He is Brandon Lee Gowden, the fantastic Steven Serta on the ones and twos. As always, this is the look ahead on the SB Nation NFL show. And a reminder before we keep going that DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code SBNFL for a special offer when you sign up. That is code SBNFL. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Brandon, like I said, I am not Rob Stats Guerrera. He is not here with us. We are our one horseman shy here on the look ahead.
Yeah, I mean, some people who might be tuning in, RJ, could be thinking, wow, this is the NFC East mixtape, which is available on all four NFC East SB Nation properties, if you will. Bleeding Green Nation, Big Blue View.
It's a hard thing to say, right? Because I usually say that on the mixtape. That's a hard thing to get out.
But yeah, we're here to preview all of the NFL Week 14 games. And what a week it's going to be, RJ.
We are going to preview all of Week 14. We're going to touch on Thursday Night Football, of course. Bit of an electric finish, certainly one of the more electric finishes that we've gotten across Thursday Night Football so far this season. Next week promises to be a great game, and Stats will hopefully be back for that because it is his San Francisco 49ers against the Seattle Seahawks. Will we be recapping a Niners win or loss, Brandon? We're previewing Week 14, not 15, but just predict the future.
49ers are going to win that game.
Okay. All right. Wow. All the Seahawks lore has officially dissipated. Stats is not here. So while the adults are away, the kids will play. The Russell Wilson impersonation might come out. You never know. You know, just a different sort of thing.
I don't think he deserves that.
that's a fair point. Okay. Before we get into previewing and touching on week 14, we also will do our pick segment, our same game parlay. We're really struggling there. Our locks of the week, we have a lot to touch on there. So we'll get there. But before we do, Brandon, Thursday Night Football, as I mentioned, the Los Angeles Rams stealing a dub at home, the mighty home field advantage. It is SoFi Stadium, as we all know, 17-16, the final score, thanks to a 98-yard game-winning drive authored by Baker Mayfield, who at this time last week was prepping for a game with the Carolina Panthers. This is the Raiders got to be relegated, dude. Like, this is really, really, really bad. Like, this is embarrassing for Las Vegas.
Yeah. I mean, the Raiders, everyone knows it. Everyone's been tweeting it. It's been shared many times, but we'll say it here. They lost to the Jeff Saturday Colts, which at the time you said was like, I think like the worst, like the most embarrassing, maybe not the worst, but the most embarrassing loss of the season, right? You said something like that.
Yeah, like that any team had suffered.
And I mean, this is right up there, right? You lost to a quarterback, like joining a team on like incredibly unprecedented short notice, a quarterback too, who is like, you know, not having a great year or like not like, you know, like super.
That was the best Baker Mayfield has looked all season long.
It was crazy. So, you know, I do think the Raiders need to be crushed here because like clearly something is wrong there. We can talk about how maybe they've had some bad luck in some regards, but like, I'm sorry. Like, these are pathetic losses. You can't lose that game, especially when you're up at the end like that. That's pathetic. There's no good excuse for that. That's not just bad luck. Like, that's pathetic. Like, someone has to own this. Like, this isn't just like, oh, this wasn't our year. We'll run it back. No, you can't run it. Like, there's just a fatal, fundamental flaw here with the Raiders. What do you think it is? Who do you think needs to go? I feel like someone needs to answer for this.
I mean, I think that, like, if we look at the chopping block, right, like the eligible candidates, Derek Carr is the person I have the least amount of issues with, right? Mm. Like, I think that, like, he's somebody whose face will get painted on a lot of this dysfunction. I think he's, like, it's probably unfair to lump Derek Carr there. Now, I will say he only scored 16 points, you know, against this really bad defense. I mean, you can't get it done. I mean, I'm not saying he's guiltless. Like, I'm not saying he shouldn't, you know, bear any of this responsibility. I don't know how you can be hyped about Josh McDaniels, right? Like, I do think we had gotten to like my thoughts, honestly, like at halftime, I'm like, okay, they've done a great job of kind of putting the, like, the Jeff Saturday meme loss behind them. You know, who knows, right? Like, they're kind of figuring out maybe they sneak in as a 7 seed. Like, it's all, you know, kumbaya and whatnot. But like, dude, I mean, if somebody has to go, I have a hard time arguing for anybody else above Josh McDaniels.
It's just really tough, and I think someone has to answer. It was so, this is pathetic. This is really, really, really bad. On the Baker side of it, yeah, I agree with you. This is the most, like, encouraging I've ever seen Baker look, and I don't know that's gonna last. I'm still betting against him more than I am betting on him long term. But this is like, maybe this is a turning point for him. Maybe this is you know, the start of some good things for him. Really impressive stuff. You know, you can get into whatever the penalty helped him on the drive, whatever, but like, still, those throws he made on that final drive, those are some really impressive throws. I was like, holy crap. So
the game winner was amazing as well. I mean, yes. Like, it was, it felt like, and this, like you said, the Saturday Rams thing has been shared a million times. This has been shared a lot too. It felt like his first win when we were introduced to him in the NFL, when they beat the Jets, the Sam Darnold Jets. And then they, what was the, like, the Bud Light,
the fridge
thing that they own, like, it felt like that kind of energy.
Yeah, I mean, it was really impressive. And at a certain point during that drive, I knew they were gonna win. I'm like, oh, they're gonna win this game. Like, Baker has them. I trusted Baker in that moment. So I think that's really cool for him that he got that moment. It might not be lasting. That might be the reality. This might be a flash in the pan. But to have a moment like that, I think that probably was really nice for him. And it's just to kind of add the context of what we saw last night, and not only last night, but Monday as well. Adam Schefter had tweeted this out on Friday morning. Teams are now 4-551 when trailing by 13 or more points in the final 4 minutes in the last 5 seasons. Half of those 4 wins have obviously come in the past few days with Tom Brady and Baker Mayfield.
The curse of Dennis Allen, because it was the Saints who lost to Tom Brady and the former team that Dennis Allen was the head coach of, in the Raiders, that lost to the Los Angeles Rams. I'm with you. Like, Baker has made his own bed on a lot of things. But this season specifically, like, Baker's had a pretty raw hand dealt to him. Like, the fact that the Browns were in on Deshaun Watson sent him down this, you know, rabbit hole of dysfunction and chaos. I mean, it was never going to work out in Carolina, and probably is not going to work out with the Rams, but like, it was really nice to see Baker get a win, like, and not literally, but just like a moment in the sun. I know people get a little bit tired when somebody gets like that moment in their like a favorite of NFL media, because now it is this like Baker fest, and that will be annoying by Sunday morning, but I'm happy for him. Like, soak it up, Baker. Like, he definitely earned it. It is cool in that sense, but yeah, I mean, this was a tough loss. I saw our friends at Pride of Detroit and Jeremy Reisman were really upset because that Rams pick belongs to them. And that's a significant thing. Like, you go from a 3-win team to a 4-win team. And the Raiders, like I said, you mentioned the Adam Schefter thing, like, with 4 minutes to go in the game, like, every Raiders fan is thinking like, okay, like, we're back in the mix. We got the mini bye coming up. Mm-hmm. They're envisioning Derek Carr, you know, on the Thursday Night Football set with, you know, everybody kind of, you know, yucking it up and having a good time. And you go from that, like, so dramatically to the season's over. Cause it is like any faint hope you had is completely and totally gone.
It's just so pathetic. I can't get over how pathetic it is. Like, you can't, it's not just bad luck to lose these games, all these, and they had other bad losses that we didn't even bring up. Like the one where they blew the lead to, or did they come back against the Cardinals? Or they blew the lead to the Cardinals, correct? Right? Like a 20-0 lead. Like, it's just pathetic stuff, man. You look at their schedule and it's just like, what do you feel good about? And what is the thing that we like to talk about? Like, that you hang your head on the future. I mean, Davante Adams is a really nice player. Okay. But like, that's one thing. Like,
Josh Jacobs also, looks, but even then you got to deal with the contract.
He's going to be a free agent, right?
Yeah. Like,
so like, you have to pay him, or like, you know, like, I just don't know, man. I think it stinks, and I think they need to start over again. I know that's like a tough pill to swallow a year after hiring a new head coach and everything, but like, I think it's time to start again.
I will say, I think last night's loss cemented the playoff status of, I'd like, insert the team here for 2023. And what I mean by that is, like, you're right. Like, it's too chaotic with the Raiders, right? Like, and it's like, there has to be some sort of like reset. I don't know if that is like, it's very interesting to think about how many one and done coaches they're going to be in the NFL this year. Is Josh McDaniels going to be part of that group? But you can see the idea that like the Raiders need a reset. I don't know that Davante Adams is enough to keep Derek Carr around. You know, I don't know what that looks like if you know, that creates some sort of awkwardness, whatever. But what I mean is, I think that this loss cements the idea that they have to move on from Derek Carr because they need a new face. And that's, they've been trying to like half rebuild for a long time. And so unlike Matt Ryan a year ago, where he has this falling out with the Falcons and he goes to a new team to hopefully resuscitate them, I do think Derek Carr can adequately do that. Like, I'm not saying Derek Carr is perfect, but I think he is partly weighed down by the Raiders in a way that, like, to use my example, Matt Ryan wasn't weighed down by the Falcons. He was part of the weighing down. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if Derek Carr's on the Jets next year,
I was going to say to the Jets.
Yeah, like, that's a playoff team as far as I'm concerned. I think he's that good still.
Yeah, I don't know. This is really bad. And he certainly deserved a good amount of blame for this loss. And I think back to the game where the Raiders got shut out. They got shut out by the Saints. Like, what is that? What is going on? A 24-0 loss to the Saints earlier this season. Like, this, there's so many pathetic performances on their schedule that I just feel like you kind of have to scrap, like, a lot of this. Like, I just don't know what you really feel good about here moving forward in the future. So it's a bummer.
All right, that is our Thursday night football recap. There are 12 games that we are going to talk about because we will give one sentence on Monday Night Football. Brandon, do you know of those 12 games, how many are division games, like within the same division?
Six.
Seven.
Pick me!
One, two, three.
Pick one.
On three.
Pick three, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook.
It is this is a seismic week, or it has the potential to be, right? Like, if these games go a certain way, like, the standings as we know them could look very different this time next week. So we're going to get to all that after we take a quick break. But before we do that, we are going to get to our Pick 3 segment, which is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code SBNFL for a special offer when you sign up. That is code SBNFL only at DraftKings Sportsbook. All right, Brandon, it is time for locks of the week. We do have to revisit last week because I want to. You locked up the Commanders as 2.5-point favorites against the Giants, and they tied. Pathetic. Lame.
The rare
stupid
scenario where the team you expect to cover doesn't lose the game and still...
That's extremely rare. But you lost the lock. Stats applied the Rob Statzgerer kiss of death to the Seattle Seahawks as 7-point favorites over the Rams. They did win, but did not cover. I appropriately locked up the Las Vegas Raiders, who were 1-point dogs against the Chargers. They won that game. You know, it was more of a lack of belief in the Chargers than it was a belief in the Raiders, as evidenced by Thursday night. You are 8-5 on the season. I am 6-5-2. Stats an abysmal 3-8-2. Now we have no stats here on the show, but he did send his lock in. So I mentioned kiss of death. He has locked up the Philadelphia Eagles as 7-point favorites at present time at home against the New York Giants. So for the second week in a row, he is locking up a greenish bird mascot against a team with blue in their color scheme that is 7-point favorites. Does this make you nervous as an Eagles fan?
When it comes to covering, absolutely. I still feel very good about the Eagles winning this game. But, I mean, it's not a team to bet against on for stats. Like, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the Giants have the best record against the spread this year.
And the Eagles are, like, 7-5 or something like that. Like, they are not... You know, solid coverers.
9-3 against the spread, and they're specifically 7-1 as underdogs. So, and then they're obviously underdogs this week. So, I don't know that this is like the bet I would be making for lock of the week. It's a division game. I am going to take the Eagles to cover. So, I disagree with.
Well, no, hey, we'll get there. But this is just his lock.
But yeah, I do agree with stats. He's taking the Eagles to cover. I agree with him.
But he's locking the Eagles. That's what you're saying. No, but you're saying you are going to take the Eagles to cover. So you think this particular one is safe.
But I think it's not the most likely smartest bet is what I have to say.
Interesting. Steven Serta letting us know that Brian Daboll just said it was possible that Saquon Barkley might not play. So we'll see.
Okay,
we'll get to that.
Definitely lock that up.
When we preview the game at length, maybe 7 is kind of a steal at this point in time. I'll let you go first, Brandon. Who is your lock of the week and why?
Yeah, this was decided for me when I saw a tweet Wednesday night or whatever it was. Where
you slacked this to us at like midnight. You were so excited to lock this up.
Well, it was like, I mean, I'm any kind of listener to any kind of podcast that I do knows that, and probably to an annoying amount, I talk about vibes and how much vibes matter. I mean, Jalen Reagor, like, guaranteeing a win as like a whatever fifth receiver slash punt returner or whatever he is on that team and not a good player, clearly not a good NFL talent, is locking up a win for the Vikings over the Lions. I'm like, instantly, that is absolutely going to come back in his face and blow up. So yeah, give me the Lions. The Lions have been playing better recently. And the Vikings, come on, man. Like, they are so lucky this year. Like, 9-0 in one-score games. They are due. They're due to lose one of these one-score games. Not even because necessarily I'm saying, like, they're terrible, although there are some metrics to suggest, like, they're not even as good as the Lions. But you can't just get all that luck. You're going to have a bad bounce at some point at the end of a game, an unfortunate call that goes against you. And I just feel like the Lions, who, honestly, they need this game more, too. Like, the Vikings don't really, like, need this game as much as the Lions do, and I think there's something to that. I think the Lions win and cover the 2-point spread.
2.5 points.
Okay, so the 2.5.
The Lions. The Lions are 2.5 point favorites against the 11-2 Minnesota Vikings. Which
doesn't that tell you something to me? That's not just like, oh, the line is way out of whack.
Sorry. No, 10-2. I said 11-2.
Oh, yeah. I think that's the line is telling you there's like a reason why this line is.
I think that people like the market doesn't favor the Vikings. I think that odds makers are trying to entice that. Like, and I see, like, I'm totally, and we'll get to the game, but like, I can accept your logic when it comes to the Lions winning this game, but like, that's 2.5 points. I mean, and I recognize that like, that's not a lot, but like, you know, I would like this bet more if the Vikings were favored. Because you're right, like they're kind of ripe for a loss and whatever. But now you're asking the Lions to cover, not exactly a stable franchise or team as well as they're playing lately. But you know, hey, yeah, we'll get there. But interesting lock nonetheless. I don't think we have locked up the Lions at a certain point in time. There's very few teams that haven't been locked once so far this year, and I think one of them is mine. Lamar Jackson not going to play on Sunday for the Baltimore Ravens, so the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are trying like heck to avoid falling under 500 for Mike Tomlin. They are 2-point favorites. Steelers-Ravens games are just so great, and you can always count on them to be like rough and tough and gross. And I do think that Mike Tomlin is one of those coaches who, when he smells blood in the water, like the Ravens being without Lamar Jackson, is really capable of kind of getting the win that they need. If there is a team whose players play for their coach, I would put Pittsburgh right up there at the very top. And with the Raiders losing, I mean, this below 500 thing can now turn into like a playoff rallying cry for the Steelers. So I will totally take the Steelers as 2-point favorites over the Baltimore Ravens. It's a bummer. I'm sorry, Kyle Barber. I wanted the Ravens to be good this year, and they're out without Lamar, which is obviously not fair right now. But I mean, the Ravens, there's some bad energy on the Ravens right now. You talk about vibes, like their last 3 weeks, they have won two of those games, to be fair, but they struggled to beat the Panthers. They struggled, obviously, to beat the Broncos, and they lost to the Jaguars. So who got blown out by the Lions?
Yeah. I mean, like you said, bad vibes, and, you know, I think the Ravens are still going to make the playoffs here. But if they lose this game, their odds drop down to about 80%, so it'll take a little bit of a hit. And imagine, like, 2 years in a row.
What are the division odds switch to? I don't know if you have that.
So the division odds would go down to just 39%. So they would not be even the favorites there anymore. So, you know, we'll see what the Bengals do too. But I mean, I just think it's crazy that if the Ravens collapse, even if they make the playoffs, but kind of collapse out of the first in the division again, 2 years in a row, like this is what precedes the big Lamar Jackson contract. Like that's what leads up to that moment. Because we know, you know, in the postseason, he hasn't had the most success. It's not like he's setting himself up for more success by not getting home games in the playoffs. So it's tough.
The Steelers, I just wanted to be matter of fact about this, are currently the 11th seed in the AFC. So there are three non-wild card teams ahead of them at the moment. They are the Browns, the Chargers, and the Patriots. The Browns play the Bengals this week, and we'll obviously get to that game. The Chargers play the Dolphins this week. The Patriots play the Cardinals. Based on our SB Nation NFL expert picks, I know the way you think that game's going to go. But like, that's what I'm saying. Like, this is a seismic week. Like, there's going to be a team who's like very much on the outside looking in that is going to be somewhere near the mix at the end of it because of all the divisional games happening. So the Steelers definitely have a path. Those are our pick threes, though. It is now time, Brandon, for our same game parlay. Last week we had Colts at Cowboys. It was a huge game, huge fourth quarter, at least, and we all missed. Literally none of us got it right. It was really pathetic, really embarrassing. Stats is in the lead in this particular competition on the season. He is 6-7. You are 5-8, and I am 4-9. But collectively, we are 0-13. We have yet to fully hit on the same game parlay. We do generally stick to Sunday Night Football. That means this week we are doing Dolphins at Chargers. Stats has sent his in, as mentioned. He is taking the over for points on the Los Angeles Chargers at 24.5. I think that's a bit precarious, but, you know, hey, that's up to Stats. So where are you going on the same game parlay?
Yeah, I'm going to take a Tyreek Hill anytime touchdown. Feels like a pretty generally safe bet. There are only six teams this year that have allowed more touchdowns than the Chargers have. Two wide receivers specifically. Tyreek has a touchdown in three out of his last four games. A very, you know, talented player who's hard to keep out of the end zone and hard to prevent making big plays. So I will bet on that.
Okay, so Tyreek Hill, anytime touchdown score. I like that. I am taking, so we have Chargers points, we have Tyreek Hill, we have both sides represented. I am going on the Chargers side of things, and I am taking Austin Eckler over 69.5 receiving yards at plus 300. Thank you very much. Austin Eckler, the last 2 weeks, been getting it done through the air. 67 receiving yards against the Raiders and 60 against the Cardinals the week before. And I don't mean this as the insult it's going to sound like, but Justin Herbert and Austin Eckler kind of kings of the dump off garbage time, you know, yardage, right? Like that is the thing, like, you know, dump off, dump off, dump off. I could see that happening like 5 to 8 times, and that just accumulating enough for 70 yards. That is, you know, Austin Eckler is a monster in PPR formats if you have him in fantasy. So that is our same game parlay. Obviously, we're hoping to hit. Is this the one? It, maybe it is, because Stats isn't here. He's kind of like the bad luck when it comes to this.
Poor Stats. So. I'm going to say yes.
Okay, we believe. All right, let's take a very quick break, and then we will fly through all of the week 14 games.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Brandon, welcome back from the break. During the break, you said you went to Stats's house and you gave him a hug. How was it?
I don't think Stats would want me to do that. I definitely don't think he'd want me to be there, number one. I don't think he would want me to give him a hug, number two. So that would probably not make him feel good.
Wow. So we are going to get through the remaining 12 games of week 14, because we will offer you one sentence on Monday Night Football. Brandon and I each have one zap, which means we can zap the other, and stop their thoughts when it comes to whatever is going to be said about the game in hand. Steven Serta behind the glass does have a zap himself, so he can say, I don't want to hear what you have to say about this game. We cannot be zapped regarding the games of the teams that we cover. So nobody's going to zap Brandon for the Eagles, for me, for the Cowboys. So that being said, Brandon, I'm going to go in order, so Steven is aware, because Stats normally handles this, that DraftKings has these games listed in. Again, DraftKings, our sponsor here at SB Nation. The New York Jets visiting the Buffalo Bills. They got this win the first time, Brandon, the Jets did. They are 10-point dogs. The New York football Jets are Mike White looking to make it two on the season. A season sweep for the Jets over the Bills. Do we think this is happening? The Bills coming off the mini bye, having played on Thursday Night Football a week ago and Thanksgiving the week before that.
Yeah, I'm going to bet on the Bills here. You know, it's tough to see the Jets sweeping them, especially in Buffalo. Jets have, don't get me wrong, Jets have some moxie, but I think the Mike White thing is, it's just tough because, like, is he better than Zach Wilson? Yes. Are the vibes better with him than Zach Wilson? Immeasurably. But I think the talent is limited there, and you're going to see turnovers, and the Bills are primed to take advantage of those turnovers. So I'm going to have to bet on the Bills here. They need this win. They didn't have a win in the division until last week. They really need these division wins. They're going to be out for blood in this one, and they're capable of winning big against a division opponent, as we just saw against the Patriots, who we found twice.
We found out this week that Von Miller done for the season. That was obviously not known until this week. So huge bummer for them. I have to imagine they had some sort of inkling of that, obviously. I do think that we did not give the Bills enough credit. And I know that's hard to say because they get so much love on a national level, but hear me out, like, for what they did. This is their first home game in forever, and their first home game since chaos. The last home game they were supposed to have, they had to play in Detroit because of the snowstorm, and they go there, they get the win. It's kind of ugly against the Browns, you know, but a win is a win is a win is a win, right? Okay, what happens after that? They got to pack up and return back to Detroit for Thanksgiving, and that game's super close against the Lions, goes down all the way to them, but they get the win. And then what happens after that? And I can tell you, this is not an easy thing, but normally if you play on Thanksgiving, you get a week and a half off. No, the Bills got the Thursday night treatment and had to play 7 days later on the road. So they have played three straight games on the road, one of which was supposed to be at home. It's their first time, you know, getting to sleep in their own beds consistently. They get a week and a half. I mean, and you mentioned that they need this win. Last week, in addition to obviously getting through that stretch undefeated, they got a lot of help around the conference. The Kansas City Chiefs lost to the Cincinnati Bengals. They are now in pole position for the number one seed in the AFC. And they're a team that I think is capable of, like, kind of putting a stranglehold on that kind of stuff, right? Like this is within sight. Let's lock it down. I will take the Bills and I will lay the points because I really think that they're just going to kind of send a message.
So you're saying that Josh Allen is going to refuse to lose this game?
I love you, Pete Tweeney, but yeah, he is going to refuse to lose. Okay, let's move on. The Philadelphia Eagles visiting the New York Giants. That has actually moved to 7.5. So Stats got it at 7. So, you know, interesting. But it's 7.5 at present moment. I know our banner says 7, but just letting you know what the website says.
Wow, really time. Firing shots at Steven here.
Steven, it just wasn't your fault.
Remember that, Steven, when you go to zap someone.
Last year, the Eagles lost at MetLife Stadium to Joe Judge's New York Giants. The Giants have not won a game in a very long time, but they did tie last week at MetLife Stadium. And they need this. Like, on the subject of teams who really need a win, the Giants are on the verge of falling all the way out of playoff contention, especially with a game against the Commanders next week at FedEx Field looming. Brandon, your thoughts?
The Commanders team that, as Ed Valentine kind of made me aware of directly, that has had now, like, is going to have 3 weeks to prepare for the same opponent, the same Giants team. So big.
How did he make you aware of that? We've been talking about that on the mixtape forever.
I never, like, thought about that exclusively. Like, oh, wow. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I didn't think of it in that specific way. I knew they had the matchup. But anyway, I don't know. Did you say the thing about Saquon that Steven put in the chat here earlier?
Well, we said it at the beginning, so it would be impossible that somebody is listening now that wasn't listening then. But just for what it's worth, Brian Daboll said it is possible that his status on Sunday is in doubt. He hopes he will play, but his neck is sore. So we will see.
Yeah, he was added to the Thursday injury report as limited with a neck injury. So not great. And I think that's very significant because Saquon was this Giants team's identity. When they were winning games earlier this year, he was awesome. He was making his doubters, RJ, you and me included, look foolish.
Thank you.
But all of a sudden, I think we're seeing that, like, we're kind of wondering if that was really sustainable, and leaning on Saquon that heavily, you know, is really something you can count on. I think we're seeing that it might not be, and he has not been the same player anyway recently. And that has coincided with the Giants' relative recent struggles, where they're 1-3-1 in their last five games, with the sole win being a one score game over the Houston Texans. And that was at MetLife. Like, that's your best win in that stretch. Really not the most impressive game.
That's all occurring since the bye, too, by the way.
Yes.
Like, that's their post-bye schedule.
I said at the time, coming out of the bye, they were due for some losses here. They've happened. They're just so banged up, I think, is part of the problem. I think Dable, on the whole, has done a good job of getting probably the offenses overachieved relative to the talent he's working with. But at some point, it's just like, they just don't have the horses. They don't have enough, and the Eagles very much do. Eagles have a lot of talent. And I think the Eagles can absolutely score on this team. I mentioned Ed Valentine earlier. He literally said something to the effect of, like, it's like laughable to think that the Giants can stop the Eagles' run game, because the Giants' run defense has been bad. And they might be missing Leonard Williams, and Dexter Lawrence, their best defender, especially in the middle there, is coming off a game where he had to play like something like 77 snaps because it went to overtime. So I think he's tired. He's worn down. And I just think the Giants are due for another loss here. And it's going to be painful from the sense of, like, promising start to the year, but they're really in position to slip out of the playoffs.
It is a tough scene right now for the New York Giants. And if they do lose this game, like we said, and then lose next week against the Commanders, mm-hmm. like that's kind of all she wrote.
And they get the Vikings after that.
Right. So I don't think this is likely, to be very clear, but like the way this game is won is this is the, like, we got to pay Daniel Jones game, right? Like Daniel Jones has like a heroic, you know, 400-yard, four touchdown performance that isn't, no, again, I don't think this is likely, but like, especially given the fact that Saquon is kind of dipping right now from a reliability standpoint, like that's what it takes right here. You have to have that like elite quarterback performance. And I think that's incredibly unlikely. The only thing that gives me pause is that Stats Locked at the Eagles, and the trend here on this show is that doesn't work out. It makes me want to take the Giants to cover, but I will still lay the points. I will take the Eagles. I just don't see how the Giants go shot for shot with them. Like, maybe it's cute and fun early on, but the Eagles have too much talent and will ultimately pull away. Unless, like I said, Daniel Jones just goes supernova for one game, which Joe Judge did a year ago in a theoretical sense against the Eagles in MetLife.
That's not really true.
I mean, but he got the win. You
know, it was a 13-7 win. It's not like he went supernova.
We're both taking the Eagles to win, Eagles to cover. Obviously, Stats is as well. Third division game in a row. Like I said, there's a lot of them happening this week. The Cleveland Browns are visiting the Cincinnati Bengals. Still working with Deshaun Watson and his return. Meanwhile, the Bengals, I'll take the Bengals to win.
I know you don't want to talk about the Browns. This is actually kind of a mercy zap for you. This is
Thank you. I'm taking the Bengals to win and cover, just for my full pick.
And I'm going to do the same here. I love Joe Burrow. I think he is. We had a very controversial discussion on the NFC East mixtape this week, which RJ can now not talk about, where, you know, I was like, Dak doesn't scare me right now. You know, a quarterback who does really scare me, Joe Burrow, as like things are heating up down the stretch here. I just have confidence. I know the Bengals have some work to do. I know they have a tough schedule, but I really believe in him right now. And I think he's going to lead them to another AFC North title. And I just think that's a scary team. I know the Bengals have had struggles against the Browns specifically. This hasn't been a great matchup for them, but I trust in Joe Burrow a lot right now. I certainly trust a lot more in him than I do the Browns quarterback right now. So give me the Bengals to win and cover.
So we're taking all three favorites so far here. We're simpatico. I think this is the point where we have the first level of disagreement. I still have my zap. Steven still has his zap, just so we're clear. The Detroit Lions, as mentioned, you got them at 2.5. It's now 2. So you actually laid an extra point. So sorry about that. Lions are 2-point favorites at home against the Minnesota Vikings. Lions looked maybe the best they've looked all season a week ago in their domination of the Jaguars. And that's, you know, not a huge indictment. They've played really good football. Jared Goff definitely looked the best that he's looked all season. I think Jared Goff is starting to make Lions fans question, like, should we use that Rams pick on a quarterback?
Yeah.
I mean, but
no,
like,
don't fall into that trap. Lions
I know,
fans.
But like, that's a good problem to have. Like, ultimately,
no, there's not.
No, like, there is an answer that you should ultimately always reach. But it is good that he is playing this way, right? Like, it's helpful for the development of Amon-Ra St. Brown. We'll see if Jameson Williams gets more involved offensively this week. The Vikings, you know, took maybe up to the 11th hour, but they did beat the New York Jets. Mm-hmm. They are hanging on. Another one score win, as you love to point out. I don't like, I'm not in the like, I can't believe the Vikings are underdogs thing, but I do think it's really weird that the Vikings are underdogs. I will take the Vikings, especially because I'm getting points. Like, all they have to do is win to cover. Like, that's, I think that they are a more sound team. I think they are a better team. Like you said with the Jets, actually, just because Mike White is better than Zach Wilson does not mean that Mike White is amazing. Just because I think the Vikings are better than the Lions does not mean I think that they are amazing. I told you guys this earlier in the week. The Vikings are very good, and I predicted that, but they're worse than I thought they would be, right? Like I thought that they would be much like stronger offensively and more reliable, and that was why I believed in them. So they've gotten here in no way the way I thought that they would, but I will take the Vikings, particularly because I'm getting points.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how the narrative has shifted on the Lions, who went from being like, okay, they're the darling of the NFL, Hard Knocks and everything. They're going to be scrappy this year and then, you know, have a good week one performance against the Eagles where they almost come back and then obviously took a big nosedive. And it's like, no, this team is actually bad. And Dan Campbell is a joke and blah, blah, blah. And now they're coming back on a little bit. I am excited for their offense with what they have going on there. Their offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, getting a lot of attention. Good offensive line. I don't really believe in Goff, but he is a quarterback who apparently you can have and have a good offense with. I don't think he's the straw that stirs the drink there. There's a lot of talented playmakers to work with. You mentioned Jameson Williams. Really interested to see what he can do in his second game. I don't know if he'll be quite as limited. Maybe he will be in his second game. But I feel like they're going to – it's coming. That deep shot to him, it's coming. And maybe he kind of just like breaks a game wide open. And why not here? I already kind of went into this earlier about the Rager part of it all. And so why it's my lock of the week. But the Vikings are due for losses, and they're going to lose this game.
One of the funnier things I saw this week – you ever see like on different teams subreddits, like somebody will say like Cowboys fan coming in peace, right? Like to like the Eagles subreddit to like make a discussion post or whatever. I saw one on the Lions subreddit and it was titled Vikings fan coming in absolute violence. And so I was like kind of interested. And so I opened it up and the person was like, this is so stupid. You are supposed to be the team that we can count on for two wins a season against. You are supposed to be the team whose offense has one generational player that winds up hating you and retires and like all these things. And they were like, it was really like this funny compliment. It was like, you're not supposed to be this like sound offense and this team that can play great football. Like you're not supposed to be this team that is making this game stressful for me. So it was just a really kind of indication at where the Lions are. Kudos to Dan Campbell, because I do think he's doing it. Like he's doing, I think people were way too early and crowned the process a little bit too early. But they are finally becoming a sound, you know, a real NFL franchise. And good for the Lions, good for their fans, good for Pride of Detroit, which everybody should check out. So, okay, let's head on over to Arlington, where the Dallas Cowboys will play their third home game in a row. They opened as 16.5-point favorites against their in-state rivals, the Houston Texans. I actually don't know that it's a rivalry, but whatever. They are currently 17-point favorites. The Dallas Cowboys are. Davis Mills will start at quarterback for the Texans, not Kyle Allen. I will take the Cowboys to win, obviously, and to cover. I recognize that's a lot of points, but I'm just that uncomfortable betting on the Texans in any capacity. Like, I don't know that this is another 54-19 win for the Cowboys, but I know that they're capable of exploding like that, and the Texans are not. Cowboys really finding themselves. They're at a, I wouldn't call it a lull in their schedule, but they're playing the AFC South now, and that was always going to be a point where they would be able to add wins to the win column. They're moving and grooving. I'll take the Cowboys. I'll lay the points. By the way, I mentioned this on the mixtape, but this should be the Cowboys' 10th win of the season, which will give them consecutive seasons of double-digit wins for the first time since 1995 and 1996. That is sad, pathetic, and lame.
Why are those years, like, relevant?
Well, I know, but, like, again, like, I do think that's, like, noteworthy. I think it's noteworthy that they are becoming a reliably good football team, which they like have
the
not been.
The last time they went to the championship game?
Well, they haven't been that way. They have been a playoff team in consecutive years since then, but you know, each of those two times they were a wild card team below 10 wins. In fact, if the Cowboys are a wild card, it will be their first playoff appearance as a wild card team specifically since 2006. They've just happened to either be in it. That's the thing. Like they've either been really good or really bad. They've had no sustainability and they're finally becoming that team, which is exciting.
As a Texan, RJ, someone who lives in Texas, how far is Dallas from Houston regarding the rivalry? Like how long of a drive do you think?
Oh, I mean, it's like 5 hours.
See, like that's so, no, like it's so far. Like, I think people think,
I mean, Texas is really big.
That's what I mean. I mean, I know that's like people know that in theory, but I don't know if everyone knows like that. That they're like those two cities are like so.
Well, like
so
how far? How far of a drive is Philadelphia to Pittsburgh?
Same thing. It's about like 5 hours. So you know, it's like and but there's no rivalry between the Eagles and
that's,
the Steelers.
I do think like I think everybody has that like rival that's not a rival, and it's right. It's different because at least like the you know I don't know if you know this, the Steelers and Eagles used to be one team. They were called the Steelers.
But you
like,
say this more than anyone else.
But like. The Texans are still relatively new. Like, you know what I mean? They've only been in the NFL for 20 years. So
they're
it's
the
not
newest
like
NFL team, right?
Yeah. So it's not like there's, you know, like even like you could find a Steelers Eagles game from like the 70s. You know what I'm saying? Like if you did feel that way, like if you have parents or grandparents, like odds are somebody in your family, if you're from that area, like you were on opposing sides like that. Nobody's really grown up that way. If you're a Cowboys or Texans fan, it's just kind of been, and they had a really fun little stretch in the early part of last decade with the Matt Schaub, Arian Foster, Andre Johnson teams. But other than that, they've just been really bad.
Yeah. I'll take the Cowboys to cover. I just think, I mean, they've had, you know, some big wins here and the Texans have nothing going. They're tanking, baby. They're trying to get that number one overall pick as they should be.
Sure. Okay, let's move on. Two more games in the noon slate. Another division rivalry. As noted, the Tennessee Titans are hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Titans are 4-point favorites in this game. Titans coming off of that rough loss in Philadelphia. The Jaguars coming off of that rough loss against Detroit. I don't know that Tennessee needs this game to stay in the playoff hunt. Because this division is so bad, but I think they need it for good vibes and good energy.
Yeah, that was a demoralizing loss for some more than others in Tennessee with the guy who decided it was a good idea to trade A.J. Brown getting fired, which possibly an overreaction to one bad trade, but also it was a really, really dumb and bad trade. I mean, even if Treylon Burks is awesome, it just doesn't seem like good process to do what he did to get rid of like a potential a player with a Hall of Fame kind of ceiling in A.J. Brown. Like, I'm not saying he's guaranteed to be that, but like that is like an outcome and not a crazy outcome to think that could happen. Anyway, I'm going to take the Titans to win this because I think they bounce back. You know, they just ran into it. The Titans losing to the Eagles wasn't about them like looking awful and like being terrible as much as just they ran into a team that was way better than them. And you saw what that looked like. They're also decently banged up in Philly, maybe a little bit healthier this week. And it's hard to trust the Jags, man. As much as I love Doug Peterson, like it feels like every time Trevor Lawrence turns the corner, he makes you not believe in him again.
On the subject, he did not practice on Thursday. Trevor Lawrence did not. I don't know how well you've been monitoring the situation, but the Cowboys visit the Jaguars next week. Mm-hmm. So second straight day he didn't practice. Doesn't it kind of smell like knowing that? Like, couldn't you see like he's placed on injured reserve next week, like shut down for the rest of the season type thing? Because he had the scary, you know, almost injury in Detroit last week. Like, it kind of. I mean, obviously, I don't want that. Like, I want every player to be healthy, but like it feels like that. You know what I mean? We do kind of tend to see that this time of year.
Yeah, just kind of, you know, punt on the season, get to 2023 healthy. Who's the Jags' backup quarterback? It is. C.J. Beathard.
Who the Cowboys have played before, but if it comes down to that.
So, give me the Titans to cover.
So we are taking the favorites in agreement on that on every game so far in the noon slate, except for the Vikings-Lions game. We're split on that. Final noon game, I already mentioned I'm taking the Steelers and laying the 2 points at home against the Baltimore Ravens, but what are your thoughts?
I'm going to take...
This is a mercy zap, because again...
I'm going to take the... I'll take the Ravens +2, actually.
Okay, so we do disagree here. So we actually, again, fully in agreement on all the favorites except for the games that are 2-point lines. and we both took the purple dog in that game because I took the Vikings as 2-point dogs against
purple
the Lions.
Purple
dogs.
It's like Clifford's cousin or something.
I guess you're not supposed to be speaking right now. You know what? Like, what? Since you can't speak right now, let me say that if Lamar Jackson gets healthy and comes back, he has every opportunity to play at an MVP level and really carry the Ravens into the playoffs like the mighty, amazing, wonderful quarterback that he truly and totally is. Shout out to the Purple Ducks. Okay, let's move on to the afternoon window. Do you know how many afternoon games there are, Brandon?
I don't know, like 3.
There are exactly 3, which means you win nothing. But we do have one zap remaining. I don't know if Steven's going to use it here, but the Kansas City Chiefs are visiting the Denver Broncos. This was supposed to be the Sunday night football game, but, you know, wow. I was going to do the Russ impersonation. I'll take the Chiefs.
You can still do that if you want.
No, you can't.
No,
do it.
I can't. I'm not going to violate the spirit of the zap. The Chiefs are 9-point favorites. I will take them to win and cover.
The Chiefs are going to cover in this game, but it is going to be ugly. They are going to look totally disinterested in this football game. And so anyone who is expecting this huge bounce back performance from the Kansas City Chiefs after losing to the Cincinnati Bengals, you're going to be let down. The Chiefs do this every single season. They're going to be totally disinterested in this game. It's going to be ugly. Luckily, Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett are so bad that they can't score touchdowns at all. So Denver's probably going to have like 12 points in this game because that's what they do each and every week. I keep telling myself they're going to fall into like an accidental 24-point performance. No, they don't do that. It's 12 points every week, 13 points every week. They're absolutely awful. This game is going to suck, and it's not going to be fun for anybody, but the Kansas City Chiefs will still cover.
Yeah, the Broncos have the fewest amount of touchdowns in the NFL this season, 14. It's 30 fewer than the Eagles, by the way.
On that note, the Cowboys have 15.
No, you're zapped. You can't talk. You're zapped. What? You're done. You're done. Here's what I'm going to say. To me, it's a lock that at least one of these Chiefs-Broncos games coming up, because I think people are looking at that on the schedule and being like, wow, the Chiefs' schedule is so easy, and it is. But I think one of those games is going to be a real slog. Still think the Chiefs very well might win both, but I think it's not just going to be like a blowout each time. One of them might be, but I think the other one's going to be like a real slog that kind of doesn't feel great. Could be this one. I can't take the points because the Broncos are just so bad and they don't score points. But I am going to say that I think it will look a little testy here until the Chiefs ultimately pull away at the end, and I'll take the Chiefs to cover.
The deep dive that somebody gets on the Broncos in the offseason is going to be exhausting. Like the deep introspective, like 12,000 word think piece that's written about them that Russell Wilson offered quotes for is going to be just the worst. The Carolina Panthers, the Baker Mayfield-less Carolina Panthers, will visit the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday afternoon. The Seahawks are 4.5-point favorites. Seahawks coming off of that, maybe closer than anybody would have liked win against the LA Rams. Seahawks still in playoff contention, not only in playoff contention, but with the Jimmy Garoppolo injury, and we'll get to the Niners in a moment here. Seahawks have every opportunity to win the NFC West. So do they win this game? Do they cover?
Panthers have been a little bit like sneaky, competitive more so.
Well, lately. And the NFC South is available. I mean, technically.
I think the Seahawks don't deserve the benefit of the doubt right now. I think they've had some shaky performances recently. Not that the Panthers extremely do, but I think it's just more about Seahawks, prove me wrong. I believed in you, and more recently, kind of making me a little bit nervous here. So I think Seahawks don't deserve the benefit of the doubt. I think they need to go out and prove the people who are kind of doubting them wrong here, and they need to go out and not only win this game, but do it, by a touchdown, do it pretty comfortably, not comes down to the last minute again. Especially as you're trying to really assert yourself and take advantage of the 49ers losing Jimmy Garoppolo. So that's the kind of performance they need. I'm not sure I can totally count on that right now. So I will take the points. I think they can still win the game, but I think it could be a little bit sweated out. Like it just was against the Rams for them.
We will get to 49ers Bucks in a moment, but that's the thing. If you're these games are going to be happening in parallel. So if you're the Seahawks, you should win this game, right? You're 4.5-point favorites. It is very possible that the Niners lose to the Bucks, although obviously, bit of a coin flip at this point with Tampa. So you could walk out of this week if you're the Seahawks with both of you at 8-5, and then you play on Thursday night. That's the division. Cause I don't know if you know this. The Seahawks are currently 3-1 in division. And the Niners are 4-0 in division. So if Seattle were if things were to go Seattle's way, they win, San Francisco loses, and they win on Thursday night. They have not only leapfrogged San Francisco, but now they have 5 wins in division to San Francisco only having 4 and only having 1 more left. So big time stakes. I'm with you. I'm
How do you
not,
like your stake?
Medium. What about you?
I think medium rare is the right answer, right? That's the canonical answer.
Yeah. So, Bob, you're pretty basic. Interesting.
Not a big steak guy, though.
6'5", basic, Brandon Lee God.
Just trying to shoehorn. It's really sad. I mean, what's your height?
I'm 5'9".
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm honest about it. I'm fully transparent about my height. I'm not trying to
overcompensate here by trying to make me seem shorter.
I'm not trying to overcompensate. You don't feel as inferior I was given a specific set of instructions, and I'm a man of honor, so I follow that to a T. That being said, I'll take the Seahawks. I'm with you. Don't lose this game. It's really how I feel.
Don't be close to losing this game. Go out and look like a really good team.
But that's you can't lose this game. Like you've like restore the vibes. Like you have such a such rare opportunities to restore the vibes. You can do that here for the Seahawks and give us a good Thursday night. Like it would be really fun. You know what I mean? To go into next Thursday night, it would be such a whimper of a Thursday night game if Seattle loses this game.
Right.
So I really, really, really want Seattle to win, and I will take them and I will lay the points. I mentioned it. The San Francisco 49ers with Brock Purdy. I'm over the Purdy puns. Like I'm so over it. Like it is annoying at this
point
in time.
They're pretty annoying, aren't they?
They are 3.5-point favorites against Tom Brady's Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who you mentioned are 25% of the ridiculous stat that Adam Schefter tweeted out on Friday morning. Huge win on Monday night that really did kind of, you know, I would say took the Bucs from life support to like the ICU, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? They were like right there, you know what I mean? And now they're still, you know, kind of wavering, but they are definitely alive. They are the leaders in the NFC South. They should win this game. I know they're dogs, but like go beat the last pick in the draft, Bucs. You're supposed to have this amazing defense. Like, go do it. Quit messing around. I mean, I would love it if the Bucs lost this game, but I don't see that happening. I saw you pick the Niners. I'm taking the Bucs. Especially with the points. I know that Brock Purdy and the Niners beat the Dolphins last week, but like I just don't. I mean, that's such a hard thing to like. We're talking about we can't count on the Mike White experience to you know sustain itself week to week. How is the Brock Purdy experience going to sustain itself?
I mean, that 49ers defense is just so good, though. And, man, the Bucs look so pathetic.
Agreed.
I agree with you. It's just I can't. The comeback alone does not make me believe in them all of a sudden. So I think the 49ers, it often comes back to benefit of the doubt with me. And I think they've earned that with the way their defense has played. I think they can cover this spread because of how few points they do allow. I mean, it got lost because, obviously, the Jimmy G injury – like dominated the fallout of last week's game, but the Dolphins were scoring like 30 in their sleep, no problem. And they just shut them down. So, and made Tua, who legitimate MVP candidate most of the season, like not look very good at all. So I believe in this 49ers defense right now, especially that pass rush going up against Tom Brady and what he's working with up front. So
Nick Bosa had what, 3 sacks last week. He could have 3 more.
NFL. Yeah, I mean, yeah. So this is I trust. And also, I saw it when the Eagles lost Carson Wentz and Nick Foles came in. Like, there is something to a team, like, rallying around a guy. And it doesn't mean the 49ers are going to go in a Super Bowl run. But I think they know they have to play, like, that much better. And I think the 49ers have a support system. Yeah, I feel pretty good about the 49ers winning this one. Maybe they don't cover because it's like a 3-point game, but I will give the points.
Rather. What it's worth, the Niners are not placing Jimmy Garoppolo on injured reserve. They have teased the idea of him coming back, I'm just saying, like giving you the information.
I think they have to, right? Because there's like an activation limit that they have and they're kind of up against it. I don't know.
You're saying they have to avoid it, is what you're
saying. You have to avoid putting him on there because he can only activate so many players from IR, and I think they're trying to avoid that situation.
I do also think like his like practice abilities are limited, obviously being on injured reserve. That's why the Cowboys didn't play Dak Prescott on injured reserve. They didn't, you know, want to isolate him in that sense or prohibit him from being a part of things. But I mean, it worked out for the Cowboys. Maybe it works out for the Niners. But okay, that takes us to Sunday Night Football. We already mentioned our same game parlay. The Miami Dolphins are favored by 3 points. This game was flexed into to be placed on Sunday night, and I don't know why. I'm kind of sick of the Chargers. Look, the Chargers are very annoying, like the Chargersness of it all. And that I allowed that to ripple into Justin Herbert specifically. I think the way people talk about the Chargers is annoying, and the way people talk about Justin Herbert can be annoying. They are not a good football team. That can be a true statement apart from the fact that he has very, very, very immense talent, but they are not a good football team. Man, we don't need to have the Chargers
nice
like
to you and then
forced on us. I mean, it's so annoying. The Dolphins are going to like destroy them. They're going to own this game.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I don't think there's much to really feel amazing about with the Chargers, and I do think the Dolphins. So, like, you know how the Chiefs game was kind of a blip on the radar for the 49ers? Like, their defense has been crazy good, except for that Chiefs game.
Yeah, right.
Like, I mean, part of that's like it's just the Chiefs. Like, you can only do it's Patrick Mahomes. Like, you can only do so much, even if you have a really good.
Well, the Chargers almost beat him, so like we got to give them all the credit in the world for that, right?
So I think it's safe to give the 49ers or sorry the Dolphins some benefit of the doubt from last week's performance and say that's not really who they are as much as they just ran to a really really tough defense. So I think the Dolphins will bounce back here in prime time. I think they will cover. I think they will win. I still believe in the Dolphins despite their loss last week.
Yeah. This is like your reckoning. This is like Brandon's always believed in Justin Herbert. Brandon has always for this year believed in the Dolphins. Like, wow. So you've picked a side. I hope that the Chargers wear the gold pants and white jerseys and that the Dolphins wear the throwbacks. I would love to see that.
Dolphins throwbacks they're just their best uniform. It's so I know. Clear. Yeah.
I mean, eventually they're going to have to go back to them the way the Bucks did and the way the Browns did, right? Like it has to happen at this point in time. Wow. Okay. One sentence only on Monday Night Football, the New England Patriots visiting the Arizona Cardinals. Patriots giving 2 points. They're 2-point road favorites against the Arizona Cardinals, who have looked dreadful. Is anybody even watching the Hard Knocks season on the Cardinals?
But I mean, I'm not. Are you?
I watched the first episode and a half, and then Hard Knocks is one of those things that, like, if you get behind, it's like, well, why am I going to go watch this? You know, like, I watch a game. You know what I mean? Like, it's difficult. So, that being said, one sentence on Monday Night Football.
The Cardinals are going to pull off the upset and win outright.
The Cardinals are really bad. The Patriots are a little bit less bad, so the Patriots will win. Steven, give us one sentence on Monday Night Football, por favor.
Ramondre Stevenson is really good, and he will win the game for the Patriots.
Look at that. All right. Does anybody want to offer a message to Stats?
Stats. No.
I will say Stats, hi. So Steven,
is he listening? Is he even listening at this point?
I don't know. Does he ever listen to these shows? Does he really?
I don't think so.
Well, he's not on it, so he's not going to listen to it. He only listens to it when he's on it.
Wow.
Steven, I will say,
I know what.
Oh, sorry. This is the shortest show probably we've done all season. It's also the last week we have byes in the regular season this year.
Well, it's helpful that six teams are on bye.
Right.
So
that's what I mean. It's the last week with byes.
That's a big reason why. Steven, as we leave, I would like you to tell us your favorite food to eat on a Friday night, specifically.
I feel like pizza is just the easy way to
come on. Yeah.
I mean, well, like,
great answer.
But like, what kind is it out at a restaurant? Do you want to order, like, are you ordering this in? Like, you know,
they're I would prefer to order it in. You always get pizza at home as opposed to going somewhere and eating it. You would always rather eat it at home, right?
Yeah. Friday night, you're tired. Yeah. It's a long week. Come on, you got to rest.
I'm a local pizza guy. I try not to go to chain places. So Waldo Pizza here in Kansas City is fantastic.
Do you ever call it a pie? Do you ever like one of those people? Like, can I get a pie? Like,
no, I'm not a pie guy.
Okay. I'm not a pie guy either. Let's leave. Let's get out of here. We went on way too long.
All right, come with me.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure, it's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.